concerns for Wes and for the family. When we were, Wes is, by the way, doing a little bit better. It's Friday, and he's not doing great yet, but he's...
Good morning, y'all. Leave it to the Sunday before Christmas in 2020 for everything to be just a little different. What a wonderful way to greet the Savior's birth, but we are here together. And I do believe, if nothing else, this entire year exemplifies the journey of Advent. In case you didn't know, Pastor Jason is quarantined because young Wes has contracted COVID, and he is doing poorly, but better than he was, apparently. And we're also missing Miss Julie Bomar, who took a tumble and fractured one ankle and sprained the other. And so I hear that walking on crutches with no good feet is not easy. So... there are other announcements. There is a Christmas Eve communion scheduled. 5 o'clock online and in the parking lot, not in the building. If anything changes with that, I'm sure Brother Jason will let you know. Otherwise, we'll see you then. And there is a congregational meeting to select elders on January the 3rd. Unless something changes with that too, it's this year. It never ends.
We're looking for change.
The fourth day of December 31st, we'll elect new elders. That was a joke, by the way. Are there other announcements? Does anyone have any other announcements? Jerry, you look like you have something to say. Nope? Okay. All right. Well, our Advent scripture this morning comes from the book of Psalms. Psalm number 89, the first and second verse, because this is the fourth week of Advent, which is love. The good book reads, "I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens." Join me in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, on this last Sunday of Advent, we pray for patience. We pray for the ability to endure so that we may soon celebrate your birth, your coming, your resurrection, and your second coming. We pray in this time of Advent that you give us solemnity and peace of mind so that we may understand that we are God's chosen people because he chose us. We pray in this time for understanding so that we can endure trials such as this year with grace and mercy and compassion. We also pray for those in our church family who are sick, who are infirmed, who are injured. We pray that your speedy healing hand be with them and that you guide them according to your wishes and bring them safely back to us so that we may all worship again as a family. And we pray in this service that you be with us, that you walk amongst us, that you speak to us in our ears the words that you would have us hear in your message. We pray in this service that you sit with us, that you hold our hands and comfort us when we are scared, that you hug us and embrace us when we feel alone. We pray in this service that you guide us closer to you. We pray all of these things in your holy name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a song now. I've got to get over there. Y'all know this song, don't you? All right. Sing along with us in your head softly.
Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what he say. Jesus Christ is born today. Fox and ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss, joy, joy, Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Peace, peace, Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting hall. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
Moment, we take a moment to give of our tithes and our gifts and our offerings. And in this moment, remember the gift that is Christmas. That gift does not come in gold, does not come in money. The gift that we get for Christmas is forgiveness and mercy. And grace, compassion, and salvation. As you go into this Christmas time, remember the gifts that you have to give that go beyond your means, the gifts that make you who you are, so that you may give of your actual self, especially to God, His kingdom, and His children. Please pray with us. Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for these gifts of Christmas. We thank you for the many things that you've given us. And we pray that you give us the wisdom and the guidance to use what you have given us stewardship over to grace and bless your kingdom and expand it for your glory so that others may see through peace, love, joy, and hope, all things are possible. And in service to you, we pray this. Amen. Our scripture reading today, I'm just going to say, does it bother you for me to sit back here? Otherwise, I got to play musical chairs. I can stand if that's easier. There. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
Thank you.
Well, this is odd recording sermon. Thanks for your prayers and your concerns for Wes and for the family. Wes is, by the way, doing a little bit better. It's Friday, and he's not doing great yet, but he's coming around a little bit. He's had a tough run of it. We're quarantined in the house, and so I wondered what I was going to do for a sermon, but being that nothing else in 2020 is normal, here we go with a recording, I guess. The scripture that I assume that James read, and thank you, James, for filling in, or whoever does, if James does not. But the scripture for today is so massive and so well known that it was kind of hard to find my place in it, to find a place to preach. You know, it's hard to narrow it down when there are that many options that are so well known. I guess I could preach on that whole Virgin Mary thing, like 2020. That story is definitely unique. But I feel like, you know, we've gone over that for a couple of thousand years now, so maybe that one's been figured out a little bit. I could preach on Mary's confidence in Gabriel's proclamation and his announcement and how it was so different than how Zechariah handled it. And in a normal year, that might be a good sermon too. But we could always talk about that song of Mary's that we read, "My soul magnifies the Lord." It's called the Magnificat, and it's beautiful. Her song has been such an important thing to our faith for such a long time. And I guarantee you, if you open a hymnal, you'll find a hymn in it that has the words to that to music. We Christians, by the way, used to have a holiday 9 months prior to Christmas where we celebrated her becoming pregnant with a godchild. We don't do that one anymore, so I guess I won't preach on that either. No, for 2020, I think we ought to get a little bit weird. We can't do the same story we've always heard, so I'd like to do something different. This time, I'd like to focus on something else, a portion of the scripture that's not often mentioned. It's at the very, very end of what we just read, and it says this: Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months, and then she went home. After 3 months from learning she was pregnant, she went back home, and I suspect, or at least I hope, that Luke told us that little tidbit for a purpose. I want to believe that there was a reason that Luke included that information. See, Luke is always about giving time frames for things. You can read his gospel and see time after time where he does this. And so he says, after 3 months, she went back home. Why? Now, this is a delicate part of the sermon, but we need to talk. First off is this: wisdom is thinking a woman might be pregnant, but knowing that you don't ever ask. Wisdom knows better than ask, because either she's not pregnant and now you're in for it, or B, she is and she doesn't want to be showing anyway. And that's the only two answers, and neither of them are to a question that needs to be asked. And now here's the other thing we know. We know from being around pregnant women in this world that it's about the 3-month mark when you start getting tempted to ask that question, honey, are you pregnant? We still don't do it, but the temptation comes. Sometime between 3 and 4 months, waistbands start shrinking. That's when people start doing double takes. That's when that happens. And isn't it something that Scripture said after 3 months she went home? Now, I don't know if that's what Luke meant or not, but do you wonder if anybody was tempted to ask? Do you wonder if there was some youngster that didn't know any better that made mention of something he shouldn't have? Because you know there were rumors, right? Let's be real. She took off with much haste, the Scripture says. Joseph didn't. He stayed around. He was out in the shop working, and he might have not been talking about it too much, but everybody else was. Some small podunk town like Nazareth, where everybody knows everybody, and everybody knew that Mary was gone. And now she's back, 3 months and counting, and don't you know it wasn't long before somebody wanted to ask. They didn't. They wanted to. Of course, the thing about pregnancy is that it keeps going. It keeps growing. And sooner or later, it gets pretty evident. Before long, too long, you're not pregnant. You're, oh, Lord, bless that woman's heart, pregnant. You still don't ask, but you know. And everybody knew, but it seemed they were all sort of, I don't know, taking their clues from Joseph. And Joseph was by her side. Can you imagine if they'd had Facebook back then? After 3 months, she went home. I'm getting to my point eventually, y'all. Hang tight. This is a weird sermon. You know what Mary never was, as far as I can tell? She was never ashamed. There was no indication of Mary that she was ever ashamed of what was going on. Mary might have started off being perplexed, but she grew to understand what this was all about. She didn't worry about the rest of the stuff being said behind her back. No, she was playing by different rules now. Because inside of her grew the most amazing gift that the world would ever know, and she knew it was happening. She knew what she was about to give birth to. She knew it. She knew it, and so she sang that song. She knew God was about to do something great because of her faith, and so she nurtured the child. Surely she did all the things that she would have known to do to make her pregnancy good. You know she prayed. If she was around today, she would have had checkups and vitamins and birthing classes and eventually everything else, because she knew what she was carrying. She knew what was growing inside of her, and she knew how awesome it was going to be. Look, I don't want to preach for 20 minutes to a camera here. I feel like I've already gone an hour, and so I'm just going to say what I want to say and let you all pray and go to your homes and prepare for this joyous Christmas day. I'll just say this. I pray that like Mary, you know what God is up to as well. I pray that you know that the faith is growing inside of you as well, and you aren't concerned about what any worldly has to say about that either. You've read the Scriptures. You know the prophets. You've heard Jesus in the Gospels. You've experienced Jesus in this world. You know what God is up to, and no matter any different than Mary did. In fact, you know it better than Mary, maybe. You know the rest of the story. And so in this season of preparation, in this Advent, we need to recognize that we too are impregnated with the faith. We too have been given the gospel to carry around, to nurture and to care for, to bring alive in this world in the name of God, because we are believers in Jesus Christ. Even if I can't hear it, that needs an amen this morning. And so if it is then in this Advent that we prepare, then it is so that we can prepare to give birth to. We are to birth the faith into situations and circumstances, into moments and movements. We are carriers of the faith who make sure that it is alive when we live out the way of Jesus Christ. We birth real life into faith by what we do. Church, when they see us, do they see us showing? When will they start talking about us? That's what I'm asking. Oh, Mary knew she was giving birth. And when the time came, she gave birth to Jesus Christ. And church, we are preparing ourselves too, because it's up to us to bring life into the faith. Someone or someone's need it. It may be 9 months or 9 weeks or 9 days or 9 hours or nine people, but the time has come when we will need to be Mary to some people. And we too will be joyful because just like Mary, we know that God is up to something fantastic. And we get to be a part of it, y'all. We should sing like Mary did because we have a place in the kingdom. We get to give life to the faith. Praise be to God, y'all. Praise be to God. What more could we possibly want? It is truly magnificent. For now, our soul will magnify the Lord, and our spirit rejoices in God's Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servants. Surely from now on all generations will call us blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for us all, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servants in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Church, we can sing Mary's song, for we can make it our song. And when you're done singing it, let's go home. For it's time we start showing. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas to you all. I love you all. I miss you. God bless you. Take care of yourselves.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The book of Micah tells us there will be peace because through him, he will be their peace. Let us sing of this peace with I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Pray for those who are in our family and in our midst. I've received several names. I will read them. Then afterwards, if you have your own prayers to lift up to the Lord, we'll take a moment to do that. Then we'll all pray together. We need to have in our hearts a prayer prayers for Tracy Boucher, she's the director of the day school, and her three children who are all tested positive for COVID, and also for Frank Rucker, his family, because he passed away this week. He was the previous custodian of this church. Jennifer Baxley's cousins, need to keep them in prayer because they also have COVID. We also need to keep this pre-K class in our prayers. I'm sure, as you all know, this time it's hard for us, but it's especially weird for kids. They have good coping mechanisms usually, but when everyone else seems so uncertain, it does not give them confidence either. So let us take a moment and keep ourselves in prayer so that we may responsibly and respectfully lead the children in paths they need to go and in ways that God would see fit. Join me in prayer, please. We pray to you, Lord, for our church family. We pray in this time for those who are unable to pray for themselves, who are too scared to pray for themselves, or who simply are too busy trying to keep their head above water. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who have to isolate. This time, we especially pray for those who are without homes, without food, without friends or family. We pray that you be there for them when no one else is. We also pray that you lead us to those people so that they may not be alone, so that they may find witness to your good deeds through the actions of your children. We pray in this Christmas time that you be with us, that you bring us joy and hope, peace and love, because we know Christ is coming back. We know he will be here to ransom captive us. We simply pray for time and the patience to endure it. We pray all of these things through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear this benediction this Christmas time. Go in joy and peace and hope, mercy, grace, compassion, and most of all, love. Go and spend this time with those you love safely so that you may see them again and that we may see you again. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas, and I look forward to seeing you in the coming year when we strive to make God's kingdom even closer to his image. With much love. Thank you.
come over here.
Obviously, you are good at bringing next week.
I know. It's so annoying. And because I know who it's coming from.
Me too.
And that's all I got.